Now my mic is up. That's perfect, man. We were having so many technical difficulties the last time we were recording.
We figured it out.
Okay, good.
I figured out which one it was. It was that some bitch right there.
That some bitch. We're live, all systems are go, episode 10,
every
season 3,
one.
6 a.m. podcast. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Hey, you know what I want to do when we kick this episode off?
Huh.
Besides burp.
Yeah, you got a different beverage this time.
I did. I got over here with me. I've got some White Claws.
White Claw, yeah. Baby.
So I was introduced to the White Claw here a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And, for just a change of pace.
Yeah, I like it.
I was like, it's really good.
I like it. But that's not how you wanted to start out the
show.
It's
not. And we're clear, some of the White Claws I like and some of them I don't.
Which ones don't you like?
I forget which one. I can't remember. So the one I really like is raspberry.
Oh,
but
really?
But I can't find it like just by itself. It's always got to be in the variety pack.
You know what's funny? When you give your assessment of a product.
Yeah.
And as you're giving your assessment of the product, you're automatically shitting on someone else. Not me. I'm not saying you're doing this.
Yeah, it says.
But you're shitting on someone else's preference.
Yeah, exactly. It's
so
perfect.
Dominic does that shit all the time. She was like saying that about because she was talking about like the red flavors of
sure.
White Claw, like
yeah.
any time it's like cherry or raspberry, or
sure.
like the deeper red.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Reds.
The deeper reds.
of the berries.
Yeah.
She always goes like, oh, that tastes like cough syrup. And I'm like, I kind of like cough syrup.
Yeah, no, well, I like the deeper
I
reds.
I kind of like drinking cough syrup.
The alternative is that I think some of the other ones tasted like, I thought they tasted like cough syrup. I thought they tasted like, and I knew one of them was going to, and a couple of them did. I was like, ugh, this is not, I mean, I drank them because.
I said this once, but like somebody asked me, one of my favorite mixed drinks of all times.
Yeah.
I don't often drink in general.
No, I know you don't.
But
yeah.
If I do, and it's liquor.
Yeah.
I always go for fancy drinks. I like fancy drinks, so I like to get. And this is not even fancy. This is just fruity. I like Malibu and pineapple.
Oh, okay.
It's very delicious. It's super sugary and it's nummy.
Yeah, there you go.
But that's basically why I kind of like the White Claws or anything like that, because it's just easier.
It's a perfect mix of alcohol and seltzer and flavor.
And our newest sponsor.
And our newest sponsor.
Thanks,
thank you,
White Claw.
Awesome. No, what I wanted to do is I wanted to kick this episode off by saying happy birthday to Dom.
Dude, happy birthday to you, too.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I had a birthday as well.
This is the start of the busiest months of the year. Like,
I know.
Literally. Right
at
August, September, that's when all the birthday, my birthday comes in.
That's right.
Her birthday, your birthday.
Yeah. September's a big month for birthays.
Then
apparently.
November, then we have Christmas coming up right around there. Then New Year's. Oh,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Joe Stetter had a birthday in September.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
we've had a lot of birthdays around this time.
Yeah, we've had a lot of birthdays. So.
I think we're realizing, I don't really follow any kind of astrology or anything like that, the signs or anything.
No, I don't either.
But I will say.
But I am a Virgo.
Yeah, same. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, dude, I'm realizing how many cool fucking Virgos I know.
Yeah.
I always thought we were like bitches.
Dude, no. We're
fucking not bitches
awesome.
At all,
no,
dude.
We're awesome, man.
I was a bitch.
Yeah.
I was bringing
the
name of Virgos
That's
down.
Right. You thought.
That was my first mistake.
Yep.
I was thinking.
How many times have I talked to you about this?
Yeah.
Stop thinking.
Stop Patrick. Thinking. You're right, Jeff. It's not my strong suit.
Yeah. It's really
Pat,
not.
Stop thinking. I can't wait for you to just scream that at me one day.
Look, you're not far from it, man.
Yeah.
It's going to happen here sooner or later. But, man, yeah, so happy birthday to Dom.
Happy
That's
birthday.
Pat's wife. And so, and apparently the world's greatest cook, according to Pat.
I do say that, and I haven't gotten any challenges yet.
Yeah.
Nobody fell for the thing that
they didn't come for it.
They didn't fall for the plan like, that I had where it's going to eat a
don't give
lot
it time. Let it percolate.
I bet Luke can cook pretty good too.
Maybe Luke can cook. Hey, speaking of which, and birthdays, you know what? You know what I got today from Luke as a birthday present?
What?
He got me an Old Milwaukee t-shirt.
What?
Yeah, it's fucking dope, man.
He got you an Old Milwaukee shirt.
Yeah.
Where the fuck did he get that?
I don't know. I don't know. I was just so excited that I got it, man. I mean,
anybody in the world, I would think that he would buy that off of, it would be you.
Yeah, I know. You would think it would be the other way around, right?
He was just at your yard sale a couple years ago, and it's like, look, it's your size and everything.
Yeah, no, he's like, it came in, I ordered it, and then here it is, and it was awesome. So shout out to you, Luke. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that.
That's really nice. Yeah, so happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to my wife, which I totally didn't forget at all.
That's good. Is that a?
It's not facetious.
Is that for real,
dude? I was having a pretty shitty day on
her birthday.
Tuesday.
On her birthday,
yeah.
That was yesterday.
That morning. Yeah. Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Yesterday
shitty
morning.
Day.
I was just like, it was. I just fell off. I ripped my favorite gi. My favorite gi is ruined.
Oh,
the
man.
Classic butthole ripped.
Yes.
There's
yes.
no
I
fixing
saw,
it.
And nope, there isn't, because there's not a seam there. You just tore a hole in your butt.
I just fell off, like I said.
Happened during comp class.
Yeah. That in front of everybody.
In front of everybody saw it. We all pointed a laugh at your butthole.
Stop. You guys aren't funny. Afterwards, I was driving back. I was working for Muskin that day. And I was driving back from one of the vet's offices, and I was just like, what the fuck? I was just like, I just feel blah. Like, it's like cloudy out. I just like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. You just
and
felt
I,
like shit.
I was like, it felt extra sore. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, it just felt down.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute. And I looked at the date, and I was like, it's Dom's birthday.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I immediately rushed to Taco Bell. I got her some breakfast crunch wraps and a Baja Blast. Which is your the blank stare?
No, it was a good thing. I'm a Taco Bell.
She
fan.
Loves diarrhea.
Yeah, who doesn't?
So, I surprised her at work with him.
Oh, nice, I stopped
on my way back through to his shop, and I was like, and I told her, I was like, straight up, I was like, I was having a shitty day, and the whole fucking universe told me like, yeah, you're gonna have a shitty day until you remember it's the greatest fucking day of your life.
That's
Pat,
right.
Because the greatest cook. Human being in the world, sorry, everybody else, was born that day.
Exactly.
So I appreciate the fact that that it made my day. I told her. I couldn't stop telling her. I said, I can't believe how much my mood changed when I forgot your birthday.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, holy shit, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
I felt like a better husband for genuinely, and I didn't look at Facebook. I wasn't like I
just popped into your head.
It just was like one of those things of like, wait, what is today? Oh my god.
Yeah.
It was like, it was a cool feeling to have that like genuine like love.
Yeah,
like,
that's good.
Really,
yeah,
really,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Usually it saves most things, doesn't it? Like
you, I
love
you
conquers
text.
All.
I was
right?
like, hey Jeff, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Thanks, pal.
No,
but no, I
appreciated it. Appreciate it. And I appreciate everybody, all of us, our 6 AM listeners, a lot of you guys like shouted out to me on my birthday. I really appreciate it. So
yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know?
Well, we love you, buddy.
Yeah. I love you guys back. I really appreciate it. I had a really like difficult birthday this year, but that happens. So don't worry.
Right,
I didn't
right.
take it personally, because for the rest of the world, your birthday is just another day.
Yeah.
It's just a day. Sometimes things go bad.
Yeah. And you know that like people even 2 houses down the street don't have no fucking knowledge.
None whatsoever.
What today means to anybody.
Let me ask you this. Can you just for a moment.
Yeah.
Give me one of your most bizarre neighbor stories.
Oh.
Ever. Because you just reminded me of my neighborhood, and it reminded me of a story I wanted to tell you. And since we're recording, instead of telling it to you off the record, I'm going to tell it to you on the record.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, one of my weirdest neighbor stories.
Yeah. I mean, if it takes some time to think about it, don't worry about it. I'll tell you my story. But
yeah, yeah. Go. Yeah.
All right.
Put your hand on the Bible.
Okay.
If you're if you're going to tell the truth and shit.
I will.
Cool.
All right. Okay. So, so weird neighbor story. Okay. So I live in a very domestic neighborhood.
Okay.
Typical American small town neighborhood. All right. It's one of the reasons why we loved the house, mm-hmm. right? Because we had very small children at the time, and we wanted them to be able to be raised in a neighborhood with other kids and
right.
all this other stuff. When we moved in there, it was actually at that point in like neighborhood life cycles where people who are empty nesters and older are starting to move out, and the houses are going for sale, and new families are moving in. And we were kind of like that first. We were like one of the first families in there, And so so the neighborhood, like, it's got very mature trees, and it's a terrific place to raise children. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But as many of you who live in neighborhoods know, you're not always going to see eye to eye with your neighbors.
Right.
Yeah. You just never know what you're going to get, right? And I've lived in neighborhoods my entire adult life. And I got to be honest with you, some of my neighbors, you know, I'm just like, they would have not been people that I was friends with anyway, but ended up being like super cool with because they're just so fucking kooky.
That happened. That happened.
This isn't one of those stories. Okay. This is a neighbor that I had that is a couple houses down from us. All right. Young couple, had a very small child when we first met them. Super nice people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super nice. And in fact, like, it wasn't long before, I mean, the husband was very, and I will not say names.
Okay.
Even though they've moved out, they're not in the neighborhood anymore. But at any rate, they, you know, super, super nice young couple. The husband was really interested in like jiu-jitsu and like what I did, in that capacity, and was talking about training, never did, but was definitely interested, you know, like, and always asked me about, he introduced me to his dad. Like, it was kind of a weird, like, I was like, wow, these people are really fucking nice. Right. So he was at the time, he's out now, but he was in the Navy at the time, and he got, they had to go to Virginia as one of his next duty stations. So instead of like, they weren't renting their house, they bought that house. So instead of selling it instead of selling the house, they put it up for rent while they were going, he was going to be away for a couple of years, and they all moved to Virginia.
Right.
And when they got back, it was fucking weird. They changed.
Really?
They were different people.
Like, okay? All of them?
So not only did they have, in that time period, they had another child. Of course, their youngest one had grown up a bit. But the two of them, as a couple, were weird.
Yeah.
Like, they acted like they didn't really know anybody in the neighborhood, even though they had been there and formed all these relationships. Like I said, super social people, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They had this dog, all right? And this dog was never on a leash. And the dog always escaped their yard. The yard didn't have a fence or anything, so I mean, you'd always see the dog out in the neighborhood.
But if you're super close with your neighbors, that's usually pretty cool. Like,
no, you know, big deal,
hey,
right?
Buster, like, got in the yard again.
And for the sake of this conversation, guys, we'll call the dog Buster.
Okay.
Okay. So Buster was out again.
I thought I had guessed the name right, because you were like, oh, no. It wasn't Buster. It was Daniel. Their dog's name was Daniel.
So Buster's out again, right?
Right.
Okay, and so Buster was out all the time. And the only annoying part about Buster is that he would shit in your yard.
Was that a trait that happened before they left?
Yeah, before they came back? It was one of the ways in which everybody got to know them so well, because you're always taking their dog back to them and being like, ah, Buster got out again. They're like, oh, Buster.
Oh, you old son of a bitch.
You so-and-so.
You motherfucker.
I'm like, wow. Yo, your fucking dog got out again.
Yo.
Yo.
You're just in a wife beater and boxer shorts. Yo, your fucking dog got my yard. Why are you doing that, Jeff?
I'll have to. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyway, that reminds me of another story I have to tell you sometime.
Ooh, excellent.
At any rate.
Off the record.
That one's got wife beaters. It's got everything. Okay, so anyway, Buster would get out a lot. And again, that's how they've like formed these relationships, because Buster was a nice dog. Mm-hmm. Buster just, you know, kind of did what Buster
adventurous,
did.
Yeah.
It was an adventurous animal. And so Buster got out one day. All right. And this is after they had moved back. And I hadn't really had a run in with them. I hadn't seen them. I didn't even know. Like, well, I of course knew that they were back, but like hadn't interacted with them. And so I see Buster in the yard taking a shit, as usual.
Of course, yeah.
And so I go and I gather Buster up with a leash, because I have dogs. So I got a dog leash out, and I got Buster, and I took Buster back to their house. It's the middle of the day. Okay. So, I mean, it's got to be, it's got to be like, I don't know, like 10 or 11 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, nothing major. But clearly, like, further into the day, okay? It wasn't like 8 o'clock in the morning or something, like when I first get back from the gym or something, right? So, and I go and I knock on the door, and nobody answers the door. And I'm like, of course, you know? How the dog got out, I don't know, but, like, what am I going to...
Yeah, where was the dog until then? Yeah.
Yeah, what am I going to do with Buster if nobody answers the door, right? I can't bring Buster into my house because I have dogs.
You have dogs and cats and all this stuff.
Exactly, I'm not dealing with this shit. So, and I don't like Buster that much.
Right.
So... knock on the door again, ring the doorbell. I can hear kids in the house. I'm like, they've got to be home.
Yeah.
Or somebody's got to be home. And the wife answers the door, finally, okay? I swear to you, Pat, she looked like She was cracked out. All right. She came to the door in a robe of sorts, but was completely naked underneath of it.
Ugh.
All right. This is, we're talking about a very young and attractive young lady.
But
all right.
Strung out, it looks like. She looks like she's.
I can't
up
say
on
for
drugs.
Sure. Can't say for sure. My wife has indicated that perhaps
she appears to be. She gives the presence of someone who may.
She's like, hey, listen, maybe she was suffering from a migraine, and I was like, good point. Like, as you know, yeah. you get some people get these migraines that they don't know where the hell what the hell's going on or what's
always
happening.
Always assume positive intent.
Right now, don't get me wrong, listeners. She wasn't naked. Like, I couldn't see nipples or anything. It's just that I could tell that she wasn't wearing anything underneath this robe, and the robe wasn't fully closed.
Right.
It was just like hanging there. Kind of in a weird, like, and she looked at me like she didn't know who I was. And so I was like, hey
Buster.
Name,
yeah.
Buster got out again. And she was like, oh. And it was like kind of indignant about it. Like,
that's
like,
what you're knocking on my
door?
Yeah,
you're knocking on my door because my Buster got out? Like,
yeah.
She's like, okay, well. All right, I guess you can let him in. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, no thank you. I did not get a thank you at all. Okay, no, I got no thank you. No, like, thanks for returning the
door.
Oh, Buster. And none of the whole, like, Buster, you little rascal thing.
Yeah.
None of that shit happened.
Like, they weren't even, like, jovial with the dog. They were just like, okay,
no,
yeah.
No. This story gets longer. This
that's
might
crazy.
End up being our main topic
yeah,
for, the,
hey,
for today because it's like.
Weird neighbor stories.
Yeah, weird neighbor stories. So, anyway, so I'm like, that was fucking weird. And so before I leave, though, she gives me instructions on what to do if Buster gets out again. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I don't
I'm
work
not
for
the,
you.
Yeah, I'm not the fucking dog catcher.
Yeah,
like,
what the fuck is that?
Yeah,
about?
Yeah. And like, again, this is somebody that we have a relationship with. Like, at least socially, we're very, like, very friendly with each other, very kind. Like,
right.
never had a bad thing to say about each other. But she totally treated me like I was a complete stranger, had no idea who I was, wanted to know what I was doing with Buster. I'm like, Buster got out. Buster
yeah.
shit in my yard.
Right,
I didn't
right.
even tell her that. I just said, here, I'm returning Buster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I found your dog. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Right.
Yeah.
Gave me instructions on what to do should Buster escape again, which indicated to me that, like, she was just going to turn around and let Buster back out again,
yeah.
right? And I was like, what? Whatever the fuck. Okay. So anyway, so I leave. Tell my wife this story because it was crazy. It was a weird, like, weird
yeah.
story. That's not the crazy part.
Really?
We're not even close, my friend.
Jesus.
Okay. So several weeks go by, and we've had very, like, vague interactions with them. Not the same people. They're clearly, like, something's up. Like, something's different, you know, about them. Not quite sure what's going on. Their first child, who I told you was just a baby when we first met them, is now grown into a little toddler, okay? And my sons are in middle school, all right, at this point.
Yeah.
And what they would do is they would go. We have a park behind our house, down the driveway, over by the creek, and they would go down. They go down there for adventuring and playing in the creek and all kinds of stuff all the time. And we live in a safe neighborhood, so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
totally cool. Like, they just let us know they're going down to the park. It's right behind our house, or right in front of our house, I should say. And anyway, they would find their son down there, who was just a toddler, 3 or 4 years old at the time, down there by himself.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Oh my God, did he get out like Buster did?"
Yeah, yeah.
And they would return him to the house. Okay, and the mother would be like, would be offended that my sons were kind and caring enough, knew who he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Was like, oh shit! Like, did your son run away from the yard? And you didn't recognize that he was gone,
right?
Because is she cracked out? I don't know.
Right. Was she at least like, oh my God, Dylan, where were, like, she wasn't like, she was pissed off at them.
So yeah. So for the sake of this argument, Dylan
know.
Was the name of the child.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So Dylan was out, and this would happen, like, not on a regular basis, but regular enough that my wife got an email
right.
from the mother about Dylan and our sons, who, instead of playing with him and teaching him, like, it was like a 4-page email. About, like, how inconsiderate our sons were for ignoring him and not playing with him down at the park, but instead insisting that he go home.
She doesn't know how to keep a dog in the house, but she knows how to
or her child
set up an email.
Yeah, well, yeah, oh yeah. It was like a 4-page email. Now,
I mean, it's easier to keep a dog in your house. You literally can tie a dog up.
That's right. You just
you know what I mean. Like, a kid, you cannot leash and
yeah,
like tie to the
yeah,
wall.
Exactly.
Right? Like, right.
You know. Well.
Okay, either way.
I mean, you
well,
could.
That's another episode.
That's another story. Boy, do I got a story for you on that one.
That's the second part of this episode.
I'm talking about a relationship with a neighbor that's superficial at best, but
yeah.
a good one, okay? And my wife got a 4-page email about this. I mean, if you printed it out, it was 4 fucking pages, okay, about how inconsiderate. And then also insinuating that somehow our parenting had allowed this to happen. From now, keeping in mind too, these are also parents of very small children. We've had our children.
Right.
Anyway, we were receiving parental advice from this neighbor who was like, and we're just like, I don't understand. Like, this doesn't make any sense. And also keeping in mind that this neighbor also knew our children, and yeah. like their children are
from before.
Yeah, yeah, very. Our children right. are very kind. Look, don't get me wrong. Like, if a parent had come to my house and been like, your son took a shit in my yard, or like, I'd be like, I knew it. Like, yeah. you know, I'd be like, the first thing I think is like, did you guys do this? You know yeah. what I mean?
So I knew it wasn't Buster,
but this was totally out of character. Right. So like, it just didn't make any sense at all. So my wife crafted a response, which was more along the lines of like, hey, are you okay?
Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah. Like, what's going on? Yeah. Like, what's happening? Like, do you need anything? Do you need help? Which I thought was really, really well done. Instead of just shooting off another one that was like, fuck you, you know,
because
you whore.
Again, you know, yeah. we've talked about mental health in the past. Like, sure. just reacting like that is kind of like one of those things where you can't do that with somebody
right.
with that condition.
Exactly. You can't. And it's also like, you just like, just take the time to think about it. Instead of shooting your fucking mouth off, just think for a minute. Like, something doesn't make sense.
Normal. Anymore. Realize that this isn't normal, regular
sure,
behavior,
sure,
or,
exactly.
for lack of a better word, but like, this isn't like common behavior.
Right, it's not common behavior. Right. But I will say even more importantly that like, in those scenarios, like if what you're faced with is something that's unreasonable, adding more things that are unreasonable isn't like,
right,
don't
yeah.
expect a better
you reach
a better
there,
outcome.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't expect yeah. a better outcome.
Don't reach
there
crazy. Yeah, you can't go up to their level, because if you're reaching their level, that is the real definition of an eye for an eye leaves everybody blind.
It's exactly right.
That's
right.
what that is. It's like, right. It's not going to help anyone.
Yeah, so what I'm telling you guys is just ignore your first instinct,
right.
okay, and just move on to the next one. Yeah. Take some time to think about it. So she crafted this really like, hey, good, like, concern letter for her, and was like, hey, is everything going okay? Blah, blah, blah. She comes to our door a couple days later,
wow.
all right, bearing gifts and an apology for her behavior. This is the gift that she came bearing. And I kid you not, I was there. I heard this conversation. She came in a very bizarre apology for her behavior. Didn't make any like real reasons for why. Like
sarcastic or like
not
just
sarcastic.
Bizarre.
She was sincere, but it was still very bizarre, because we still hadn't figured out like why any of this had occurred in the first place. And the gift that she had brought us was her husband's former gorilla costume. In case I
what
wanted it.
What the fuck?
What the fuck is right? Okay, I'm going to say
this
again.
If
you guys aren't rolling on the ground laughing listening to this right now.
What the fuck?
You're probably laughing, so I just want you to hear this again.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
As a gift.
Yeah. As an extension of like her.
It's not Halloween.
And it's not a joke. It's not like being
it's
her
not
like
a joke.
Being like, here, because you're acting like a bunch of apes. Like
exactly.
Like, that's what it was?
Correct. There's no. There was no.
Oh.
There was no context to it at all. Because
what
there was
the
no.
Fuck?
There, it wasn't an insult. It wasn't designed to, like, put us down. It wasn't Halloween or trick-or-treat. She brought to us her husband's used gorilla costume in case I would want it. And that, besides social hellos
yeah.
until they moved out.
Oh, they
about
did
a year,
move out?
About a year ago. Yeah. It was all we ever had in terms
well,
of interactions.
Well, why can't you say names them? Then? Oh, because they listen to the podcast?
Listen, I don't know. My wife just asked me,
because
I said when we were retelling this story here not too long ago, I was like, oh my God, I got to tell Pat this. I got to put this on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, don't put it on the podcast. So you know where it is.
So it's not.
It's not
officially on the podcast,
yeah,
but something similar to it is.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Exactly. Which is nobody, apparently. Right. Buster and that kid are the only innocent people. And honestly,
yeah.
why do you keep bringing him back to that house? They would benefit any other house in
I know,
that life.
I know. I thought like maybe like this is the neighbor. Yeah.
I'm not here to undermine mental health. I'm not here to. But that lady's wackadoo. I mean that is a situation where you even extend that olive branch of saying like, hey, is everything okay? Are you okay? Is everything? And her to go
exactly.
like, no, everything's fine. Here's a gorilla suit.
Like, you see what I mean?
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
My favorite part about this is that in retelling the story was the only time that my wife and I recognized that this was really fucked up.
Yeah.
But when it happened, we were like, okay, cool, thanks. And like, bye. You know, like, just set it aside. We were like, wait a minute. Did she just gift us a used gorilla costume? Yeah.
Did she clear it with her husband first?
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
or no, it was her ex-husband?
No, right, no, it's just her. Just, no, her husband. She didn't get divorced. They were happily married.
Dylan's dad?
Yeah, Dylan's dad.
Huh.
So I would have expected that the next knock on the door was Dylan's dad being like,
"Where the fuck is my gorilla costume?"
That's right. I use this every weekend.
This is my fucking gorilla costume.
What the fuck? What were their yard sales like?
I don't even want to know, man.
And before that, they were normal.
Totally normal. Yeah. Totally
or maybe
normal.
Not.
But maybe not.
I'd say the weirdest neighbor stories that I like have are basically just when Dom and I moved into a house in back in Florida. But our neighbors, so the first time I ever met this guy, he was on his roof. Like when we were pulling up with moving in.
Okay.
And Dom did the thing that we've talked about in the past where they're like, you know, go say hi. You know, maybe you'll be maybe friends with him. He looks like he likes the same stuff you like. Why don't you go talk to him
an
adult?
This is exactly what our topic's going to be for the day. We can't like not do the topic.
It has to be shitty neighbor stories.
Yeah, shitty neighbor stories. So anyway, go ahead.
So I go over to him, and within two sentences, we're best friends. I'm not exaggerating with you. I'm in his house.
Shit.
We're looking at comic books. We're talking about music.
So what did you say to him?
I don't even remember. This is my theory.
Were you fucked up?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. No, but this is the funny thing is him and his wife like to they drink a lot.
Oh, okay.
He drank a lot. He drank like a red cheek like level of like
okay.
Where like his cheeks were like maybe he's an alcoholic.
Like, okay,
like,
right. You got you like a red
like,
nose.
Yeah,
red
yeah.
Cheeks,
red nose, red cheeks. Like where you're like, oh fuck. So we would talk about ghosts.
Okay.
In his house exclusively.
Right.
Because
his house
haunted.
Was haunted. Right.
We would talk about. I honestly, Jeff, the more I think about, I'm telling you the story.
Yeah.
The more I'm thinking, I think this guy was my imaginary friend.
I would say maybe he was a ghost. I was going to say that.
That's the twist.
Maybe he wasn't real.
Because we talked about this book, House of Leaves, where the book itself like will not only like the actual subject matter will fuck with your mind.
Okay.
It's about this guy going crazy in his house or wondering if he is or not.
Right.
And documenting it basically. That's a very vague description. There's a lot more to this book.
Okay.
Because even in the book itself, as you read it, the pages of letters start like they start swirling around like this.
Sure.
The words are swirling around.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like just written out.
Sure.
And the
from
next
left,
one they're
left
backwards.
To right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then next page is just blank.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like that's how this book is published. And it's like, so I'm like, I've never heard of this before. This guy was that neighbor, but the second I got the second version first.
Like, so how long did it take you before you realized that, like, you should probably make some distance from this guy?
Like when he started explaining the night terrors thing, I was like, And I was like, I don't know if we should let this guy in our house. All he would always talk about was how he didn't want to be in the relationship that he was in. Like this guy literally
was he married to her?
Or yeah, were they just, yeah, yeah. Okay. They were married, okay. And she desperately wanted a kid, and he was just kind of like, oh, whatever. And she was very nice. Like,
perfect, perfect
yeah.
mix.
But it almost immediately became like he wanted me to be his like bro to hang out with and everything. It was just like a whirlwind. There's just multiple times and interactions that I've had with this guy where I'm like, I don't know if I should even introduce him to my family.
Sure, yeah.
Because I don't know. He just seems crazy sometimes.
Right.
And then other times he's just like just weird drunk guy. Like
yeah,
party guy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, party
college
guy.
Dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
was he the same age as you guys or
around about, yeah.
Around about, okay.
So so I ended up finding him on Facebook. He added after we moved away, like a couple years we were
so
up
you
here.
Guys moved and yeah, they stayed. Okay.
We moved away, but then we found out later that they ended up moving because I found out when I friended him, found him. And he accepted my friend request. I think I was like, hey, man, I haven't seen you forever, blah, blah, blah. Did not respond. And I look at his, like, page or whatever. Now they're living in Connecticut. They have a kid. There's no talk of weird things. There's no weird behavior happening or anything like that.
He got help.
Like, and he is just in love with his kid. Like, he's like, oh, my. Like, so when they say, like, does a yeah. baby really change you?
Yeah.
Like, I think sometimes for the good, sometimes I don't know which one it is.
So you became though part of his party life. Yeah. Like when he was, when he had, you know, problems with alcohol and so forth, and then when he sobered up, like,
oh, maybe that was it.
Like, he's like, I can't talk to this guy anymore because he's an enabler for my drinking problems.
The more I, like I said, the more I think about him, and then more I, like, I, the more I just feel like he's 100% a figment of my imagination.
You're not quite sure if, like, you, what kind of bullets you dodged by, like, moving out of there.
Yeah, and that, yeah, I don't know if I was going to be an eventual, because there'd be times where he'd just say, like, I don't know if he's trying to be funny, but he was saying it when he was telling a pretty serious story about his weird night terrors that he had just reached. Because I'd be like, hey, seen any ghosts lately? And he'd be like, yeah. And he's just like, and he's just, and he just started telling it like I was a fucking nom story. And I was just like, oh, so anyway.
Yeah, so.
So you get that solid black mass living in your house, huh?
Yeah, sheesh.
What are the odds you don't want to buy a house and you end up buying a fucking haunted house?
I'm like, yeah.
I told him for the longest time he couldn't come into my house because I did not want any kind of ghosts or goblins or anything like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe we lucked out. Maybe
it was
we
a smart call on that one.
Or maybe he never existed.
You know what I want to hear is, like, I want you guys who, the listeners of this podcast, send us your fucked up neighbor stories. I want to hear some really good, like, fucked up neighbor stories. It's bizarre. I mean, we're communal by nature, right? We're human beings. We like to be around other people. And even the people like myself who are, like, completely antisocial and don't want to hang out with other people, still want to hang out with people.
That was the point that I think you were going to bring up before, was, like, the fact that I think your wife is probably like mine, that's like, go talk to him, or like,
oh,
Jenny's friend likes karate.
Oh,
or,
man,
you know.
I've heard this story so many times, and this is usually coming from, like, one from the perspective of the other spouse, and it could be, you know, it could be the husband or the wife, it doesn't matter. Usually I'm hearing this from the husband's perspective, and the thing is always this, is that the you have these husbands, I don't know if it's our ego or our antisocial behavior or our worry that we're, like, not measuring up to the other husbands in the neighborhood. I don't know what it is. But usually we don't want to, like, associate or connect with other people, other husbands.
Right.
But always in these, like, social settings. And I will say this, that, like, females on a whole are much more social creatures. They're much more,
for sure.
Even if they're not, even if they don't want to be your friend, they're at least very good at faking it.
Women will make friends with the woman they hate the most.
Yeah, but they're just like
just because they're like, hey, I like friends.
Yeah, I like people. It's fine. You
like,
know?
Whereas, like, we'll be like, you're my enemy forever.
Right. Or we're going to be together, so we might as well make the most of this moment. But,
right.
But there's always this moment where it comes up. It's like, oh, you would love Dave. Dave.
Yeah.
You know,
oh my God.
Dave does karate.
Yeah.
You know, and Dave likes to, like,
Dave's got a beard.
Dave, yeah. It'll be like, something. No, it's usually something. Yeah, it's usually something really generic. Right? Like, I don't give a fuck about Dave's beard.
Awesome.
But yeah. Then I meet Dave, and I'm like, oh, great, cool. Now I've got this dude here who's like, you know, he's like, oh, let's see your dick. Is it as big as mine?
Yeah.
And he's like jerking off in your face. He's like, I got guns. I got, like, you know, I do this, I do that. And
you're like, why would you ever think I would like Dave?
And I shouldn't say, like, I mean, I don't have a problem with guns, but here's what I do have a problem with is that you talking about all of your exploits in the first, like, 10 minutes of our conversation after first meeting you. Like, dude, I'm not impressed.
Now get this, Jeff. Get this. I will soothe your mind right now.
Okay, soothe it.
I don't hate those people. I pity them.
Oh, do you?
Because you know what that is? They're fucking nervous. They're scared.
That's what my wife says.
That's what, like, literally, no, Jeff, I'm telling you.
That's what my wife says.
They're like sitting there going, like, I don't feel like I'm, like, adequate enough or something like that. And then you also being like, hey, what's going on, dude? I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And, like, they're automatically like, oh, fuck, he doesn't care even more. He's definitely cooler than me. He's like, I got guns. I can shoot stuff.
Yeah.
I'll shoot you. You want me to shoot you? No, I got to stop asking that. You know what I mean? Like, if they're really bad at making friends.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
Like, so he's just like,
it's interesting perspective.
Because it's legitimately, you don't know how, like, you're hot. So, like, I may go to somebody and go, like, hey, I do jiu-jitsu. And they may be like,
good for you.
Yeah. But I'm secure enough where I'm like, yeah, okay, you don't give a shit. Then we're just not going to be – we don't see that eye to eye, I guess. So I'm going to assume we probably don't have most things in common.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Which is fine. Like, it's just fine. And it's not,
but,
like,
if they're saying, I have guns, I do this, I don't necessarily go to that.
It's like I say, I use the guns as a reference. It's not like, it's macho stuff. They do all this macho stuff. And if you know me, I'm not a macho guy. Like, I'm not like, you know, like, okay, fine. Yes, I have a beard and I like fighting.
Right.
I understand that like, I like macho things, but I'm not a macho man. I'm not like...
It's not for those pursuits.
I'm like, fucking women, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what I mean? When I'm like, fucking women like, all the time.
Like, I can't even like deal with... Oh, here's another thing. So and it's just like... And I don't know why we're digressing so much on this podcast, but here we go, man. Like, here's the fucking thing, all right? I don't love animals.
Okay.
I said it on the podcast. I don't love animals. I tolerate my dogs because my wife loves my dogs.
You don't dislike animals.
I don't dislike them.
But you don't like seek them out.
For my dogs in particular, I actually love them a little bit.
Yeah, they're family.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, they're my fuck you, pet. They're my dogs and my cats. You know, I'm like, okay, they're my cat. Like I love them in the context.
Do you let the mailman in your house?
No.
Right. But you let your dog in your house, don't you? Because he's family.
Okay. All right. Whatever. So anyway, I find that like people when they're like uncomfortable in these situations, they bring up like that, like dogs. Like, let's talk about dogs.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I don't want to fucking talk about your dog. Yeah. I don't give a shit about your dog. Yeah. I don't care about dogs in general. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't care about dogs. I just don't care about dogs.
Right. You're cool. I feel about the same way I do about guns as I do dogs.
You're right.
Nobody really needs one, but like you, they're cool. Whatever.
But you got a bunch of them.
Yeah,
so.
But when you have one, I'm sure you really like it.
Look, I'd much rather talk about guns than dogs, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but even still, people – so I don't know if you get this too. I get the problem where somebody goes like, hey, oh, yeah, I just got this Mustang new drop.
Oh, cars.
17.
Yeah, yeah.
48.
Yeah,
cylinder, max headroom. Those are the features I know. I'm like, can I put my elbow here? Like, I don't give a fuck about cars in the least.
Sure, I got you.
If I could fly, I'd much rather do that.
Sure.
If I could just get to where I want to go, because mostly dealing with other drivers is horrendous. It doesn't matter what kind of car I'm in.
Right.
Traffic's awful in any car.
It doesn't change my you know what I mean? Commute, right?
So like when somebody like it, and that's the problem is I'm trying so hard when I do meet somebody to kind of fake interest in their interest, but also like,
which is good,
but then also go like, let's shut this down and let's talk about something we both like, because I don't think that's fair.
Maybe there is something that you both like. Right exactly. Or we'll get
wrapped
up. We'll get caught up in talking about dogs.
Right.
And I don't have anything to contribute.
Right. I don't want you talking to me about dogs or guns for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I just want to go like, hey, if we're going to have a conversation, if we're going to fucking have to be friends, what are we like?
Exactly. Because I don't dislike your dog, but it's getting really close.
Right, yeah, because of how much you're bringing him up.
That's right. Now, listen, if we're friends,
right,
and you're talking about your kids or your dogs or guys, I'm totally into it.
I'm invested. Yeah.
It matters to me. But outside of that, don't give a shit.
Right.
I get it, man. I have a lot of great neighbor stories. That one just happened to be on the top of my mind, and I had to tell you about it.
That is a doozy, yeah.
I ended up with a, you know, my neighbor's gorilla suit.
Oh, you still have it?
I don't know. I don't know if it's, it might be. We might still have it. If I do have it, my wife will know and I will bring it and we will show it on the show.
You gotta do some tricks on your skateboard with it on.
I'll do some, no, I will not put it on.
Oh, you're not gonna put it on?
No, I don't know what's in that suit, man.
It's definitely laced with whatever's running through their
Spooge.
Veins. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Spooge.
Do you think he took that to a sex party?
Dude, I don't know if he's a furry, man. I don't know.
Oh, is it one of those?
No, it's a regular gorilla costume. No.
So he's just a regular. He's just a hairy, not a. He's just a furry.
Oh, is that what they call him, Pat?
So, what's
on your turntable?
This one is a company with a video, which I will include the link in the description.
Okay.
But
great.
This is what's been on my turntable. I don't know if you heard of a little artist known as Wheeler Walker Jr.
Nope.
You would love him.
Okay, Wheeler Walker Jr.
Wheeler Walker Jr. is a country singer. Who he unabashedly is trying to bring back old outlaw country.
Okay.
And is doing it in a very funny way.
Okay.
The video that I'm going to accompany with this, you can check out any of his releases. He has his latest release is called WW2, which is Wheeler Walker. His second album, obviously.
Sophomore,
that's what that means.
Sophomore record,
And then also Redneck Shit. There's also the video that will be accompanying the song is
terrific.
The song is known as "Eating Pussy and Kicking Ass."
Yeah,
and the video is the sign language interpreter at the Wheeler Walker Jr. show that is doing the full sign language interpretation of eating pussy, kicking ass.
I love it, man.
The mastery of the execution and truly great country songs. Like, I genuinely enjoy good country.
Sure.
And to me, it's good country that's also fun. It's kind of like how Gwar used to be, where, like, I love the spectacle.
Interesting.
And yeah. I love the subject matter is hilarious.
Right.
And or entertaining. But agreed. Also, it's cool fucking music, too. It's
yeah.
good music.
Yeah.
So, in that sense, if you want to hear a country star that should be, who is also called out, it sucks because he gets apparently personal calls or messages from like big name country stars that are like awesome, like you are fucking, you rule, you're the best, or this is awesome.
Okay,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And he's just like, okay, take me on tour, and like he tells that kind of those kind of stories when he does like interviews and stuff where he's like, yeah, fucking Luke Bryan will send me something. I'm like, take me on fucking tour then, pussy.
Yeah,
but he can't be an opening act for anybody because they're all family friendly and
it's family friendly shit.
Right, right.
Okay, so like kid tip. Okay, yeah. So when you're raising children, when you have children. Is that, and you know, and I think this, you know, for any of our 6 a.m. listeners who are have small children, there is, when you have children, you're going to be or feel compelled, maybe, I don't know, not everybody, but most people feel compelled to play their children like kids bop music.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Disney-fied music.
Yeah, fuck. What was the Shark, Baby Shark. Like
yeah,
stuff
like
that
shit.
Like Barney shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Don't play that shit. Just play them regular records.
Yeah.
And they grow up big and strong. I'm going to do you guys one better on this one. And that is, if I can find the clip, I'll send you a clip of my littlest one.
Uh-huh.
When she was like, she's 9 now, but when she was, I think she was probably 18 months old. Somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
Listening to Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
hell
like
yeah.
And bopping out to it, man. So like
it's good music. If it's
yeah,
good
yeah,
music, they'll
yeah.
fucking like it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? There was a video a friend of mine sent me of her two kids in the back seat. They were singing Kill All the White Men by NoFX.
Yeah, perfect.
They
yeah.
were just like, it was one of those things of like they just like that song.
Yeah, it's just a great song.
It's
man.
A catchy song.
It's a catchy song and I dig it.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I love it.
What's been on your table?
Well,
turntable.
Well, it's a great interlude into this because the Wu-Tang Clan
oh,
is
perfect.
On my turntable right now.
Is that what made you think of it?
What no, but you were talking about children and listening to like anyway, it, family friendly. You were thinking about family friendly shit.
Yeah.
We were talking about family friendly stuff. And I'm like, look, man, like if you want to put this guy on tour, just put him on tour because he's great. The kids need to hear it.
Right. And honestly, how many kids are going
to
be there that early?
Yeah, they're not.
Nobody shows up for the opening.
And if they are, they're fucking cool as hell, so let them listen to the song.
Right. So look how many people will show up early to your show because Wheeler Walker Jr.'s on it.
I like the idea that like you as parents, and we all fall prey to this, is that we think that our children aren't exposed to that type of language. Let me or that type of atmosphere, but let me break it down for you. As soon as you put your kid on the bus in kindergarten, they're hearing everything that you never wanted them to hear.
Really?
Right then and there. 100%,
oh, really?
Man. They're the worst.
So what's the point
the school
in trying?
Bus is the worst. Exactly. The idea, though, is if you prepare them for it ahead of time, then you don't have to suffer the repercussions of your kids hearing these things out of context from, like, let's say, your kindergartner hearing it from, like, a fifth grader
yeah.
or some, you know, some dipshit, you know, fourth grader who thinks they've got everything figured out, and now your kid – no, you already know the real deal.
Okay.
Because you grew up around it.
So, all right. So, riddle me this, Jeff.
Okay.
If I may, what happens when we get into the sticky situation of the N-word?
Oh, this is a perfect, perfect, perfect time to talk about this.
Oh, I thought you were just saying like, no, yeah, this is perfect.
Yeah. Look, here's the deal. Like, first of all, like we have the distinct benefit, and I think that this is true for a lot of families now, is that we have a mixed family. We have, you know, there's a large portion of my family that's black.
Yeah.
Okay, and so like my children grew up around black people. Big shock, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, and I'm hoping and praying that, like, as we grow as a society, that like more and more of our culture is just mixed. There isn't like a specific, like, there isn't going to be a family that isn't of a mixed race.
Right.
Let me tell you this, and this is sincere. Maybe. Now we're like maybe Wu-Tang would be proud of this, right? So
yeah.
I'm going to say this, like, look, this is how you deal with these situations. It's the same way that you deal with with all other controversial topics. You talk to them straight and honest about it.
Yeah.
What's appropriate, what's not appropriate, why it's not appropriate if they ask the questions, and answer and field those things without sugarcoating it. That's it. If it gets into topics and discussions about racism, about slavery, about like all of these incendiary topics and things that the black community is dealing with right now, all the fucking better. Because you get an opportunity to talk to your kids about this stuff. Right?
I was thinking more of the 18-month-old, like
that doesn't happen.
Unknowingly, just happened to be like
doesn't happen.
Singing
if
along.
If it did happen, then it never happened.
I get that part, and I respect
it's never
that.
Happened
yeah, yeah.
in my family. But like if it did, like we would correct it. We'd be like, hey, like that's not appropriate, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So like, but
well, that's what I was saying. I was thinking of the year. I wasn't thinking of like I respect the hell out of that. That's not what I meant. I meant more of like the little like the toddler or the kid.
Oh sure.
Just
doesn't have any
along.
Yeah, like,
just
yeah.
going like cash yeah. rules everything around me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they just happened to like the kill all the white men. They didn't know what they were saying. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. her reaction was like, isn't that funny, Pat? They're singing an NoFX song. But I was also like, you know, make sure they don't sing that. Like that's not like. Out of context, you know what I mean? It's not she was listening to a Wu-Tang Clan song kind of thing. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that was the thing. But it's
well, I think that's what I'm saying, though.
No matter like, what, handling it in a situation of, like, how else would you handle her saying a word that she should not be saying?
Yeah, yeah. Like so, like, I didn't run into – and that doesn't even – it extends beyond, like, the N-word. It was, like, even something more minor, like the F-bomb or whatever.
Kill all
whatever.
The white men.
Yeah, or kill all the white men yeah. or whatever. The reality is, though, is, like, your kids have, like, this really innate ability to understand in context, like, way better than you think they do.
Okay.
And so, like, even as I noticed that my children were, like, sing lyrics to songs, like, as they grew old enough to do so, they would know which ones not to sing.
Oh, okay. Cool.
They're so much more well-informed than you think they are. But here's an interesting fact, is that, like, so my kids play video games, and they're on headsets, and they'll mm-hmm. play multiplayer with other people, and there's a lot of kids about their age or whatever that are white and are calling each other the N-word, right?
Really?
Yeah.
How
happens,
old are they?
Like, you know, between the ages of, like, 10 and, like, 15 or whatever.
Damn. Jesus Christ.
I know, but here's what I'm going to say. Like, and they're using it as a slang term versus a derogatory term.
Oh,
okay?
Okay. In
so,
that context.
Yeah, so, but here's what happens is that, like, you'll get somebody that's on there sometimes it'll be somebody who's older, somebody's their own age, but they're black, and they're like, guys, like, knock
Come
that
on.
Shit off.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And then usually what will happen is everyone will be like, either they'll get off, you know, or they'll be like, yeah, sorry about that. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Like, so understanding that.
That's cool.
That it just requires, good. Like, right, it requires vigilance, it requires responsibility, you know, in that context. But once it's said, it's done. And your kids, like, you have to, like, the more important thing is that they grow up understanding that there are cultures that surround them that can form who they will become, right? I would much rather my kid at 18 months listen to the glory and beauty of Wu-Tang.
Right.
Than to have not heard it. Understand that these are black people, that they come from a community, mm-hmm. right? They understand they're a culture, that they understand like that this is something that's different than who they are, but is now a part of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it totally makes sense because that's where it's going.
Yeah.
That's where like if that headset behavior, the fact that at least there is somewhat of self-policing in that.
Yeah.
It just means that they're hearing like, oh, this word is not. Like, it's affecting, like, it doesn't affect me to hear it or not hear it, but it obviously does affect another. It's just as simple as that.
Dude, like, we can say for certainty that things like racism and so forth come from a point of fear, of yeah. not understanding. So if your child grows up understanding that black is beautiful, even if it's through, like, whatever it's through, but in this case, we're talking about music.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's through music, which is by far the best vehicle for communication and messaging for everybody.
Yeah.
If your child grows up understanding that black is beautiful because of music, then, you know, you kind of like, you've kind of nipped that one in the bud, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah. And sorry, you got me all on a tangent.
No, that's good.
But that's thanks to Wu-Tang.
I thought, like,
Wu-Tang forever.
I was just thinking of the fact that, like, like the fact that there is a perfect time to talk about the N-word. When you said that, like, I was just like, what the fuck? There's a perfect time to talk about it?
Yeah, perfect time. Yeah, like right away at that moment, at that time, right? Yeah, yeah. You know, but they've already been introduced to it. Okay, this part of their like it's part of their understanding of like what is culture and where and their place inside of the culture.
Right.
And it's because you just provided them access to it and you didn't tell them that they couldn't do it. Right. You didn't tell them that, sorry kids, you can't listen to this. You have to listen to the fucking Wiggles. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to listen to the Osmonds.
And then you're like, oh, why is the suicide rate climbing in America? Because
of the Wiggles.
Because of the fucking Wiggles.
Thanks a lot, Wiggles. Yeah. Allegedly, maybe.
Did you ever wake up in the morning and you have like a song stuck in your head?
Yeah.
So I had Brooklyn Zoo by ODB in my head, and I fucking love this song, but I don't know why, but it was just so like, I was just like, ugh. And then I just like, so I started down the path of like listening to all my Wu-Tang records, and they've been on my turntable all week.
Wow.
You know, and I'm like, man, this record's so good. Like this track's so good. Like, so anyway, I was just really like, I was just taken back, but it's not just because, you know, I want to say Wu-Tang. It's just like, because I just think that, you know, they brought something special,
yeah,
you know, to the world of hip hop, but music in general. And
they seem like a one in the like one in a lifetime kind
of
band.
It's and again, like, yeah, they approach their music in a with a punk rock ethos.
Yeah,
that there were no rules. You can and they changed how we listen to music, just globally.
Yeah.
So I have to give them props for that. So even if you're not a huge Wu-Tang fan, like I said, if you can at least appreciate,
yeah,
you know what you were gifted, 100%.
Yeah, hell yeah. So do you want to get into a little segment that I like to call personally? I call it Axe of Black Belt.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Question from listener Robert D.
Robert D.
I don't know
Who that is.
He says, I think, I'm assuming it's a he, where is the most interesting place you've rolled jiu-jitsu?
Oh.
I'm assuming location.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Not like, you know what I mean? Like, have you done it outside? I mean, not like...
Like I assume he means academy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like what academy have I rolled out that's most interesting?
I'm thinking,
but maybe not like, or maybe he does mean like environmentally.
Literally location, like where have you?
Okay, so I'll answer both questions.
Okay,
or at least from both perspectives. The most interesting place that I've ever rolled is our academy.
Oh, wow!
And I've traveled not extensively, but I've traveled quite a bit. Like, so I've been to other gyms and other locations, other academies, and there was something that was like our particular academy has a very nice balance between being very serious about jiu-jitsu and also feels still like a garage.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, it has a mentality that's like it doesn't take itself too seriously in the same sense that like. Not everything is like, you know, not everything is, it's not as polished, let's say, from an interior standpoint.
Rigid,
it's got all the,
even.
It's not rigid, right? Yeah. In its process, and it allows for a lot of exploration and understanding of like what jiu-jitsu means to you and your, you know, what you bring to the table actually enhances the environment. So it's more about the jiu-jitsu itself than the fucking walls or the mat color or... Yeah. And I think that's really important. So that's just a personal preference of mine. So the most interesting place I've ever rolled is in fact our academy. And I'll also say too is that we also host like in-house tournaments and so forth at our academy. And so I not only have I practiced jiu-jitsu there for a long time, I've taught jiu-jitsu there and I've fought for jiu-jitsu under our flag in that same space. So
yeah, same.
And so it's kind of
taught.
Like
I've ookied before, but that's
But that's so like so it's kind of like a special place for me for all those reasons, and of course all of like the relationships I've built with my you know training partners and students and the conversations that have been had there. So like the most interesting place I've ever rolled is Harrisburg Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Judo in Lemoyne, Pennsylvania.
But what about location?
Yeah, location
like,
wise.
Geographically.
Yeah, geographically, we had a when I first started training, we had like a lot of it was focused on self defense. And so we had like a we had like what was at the time like our instructor's course. So like you had to, and there was a multiple disciplines in all this. But one of the parts of our martial arts discipline was Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which was how I was introduced to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And we had to do a self-defense like testing, if you want to call it that.
Okay, yeah.
In a
somebody like attacked you?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
In a gravel parking lot.
Okay. Oh man.
Yeah, and at the time. If I remember this correctly, I mean, it's been years ago. But
I don't know. I got pretty bad CTE from it, yeah. Motherfucker. Came in with a crowbar.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, and that was the thing. So I think at the time we thought, oh, this is going to be awesome, right? Because we're going to make application.
Hey.
Yeah, it's like, or just, you know, like sudden assault, like yeah. tactics and things like that, like trying to figure out like what works and what doesn't in those environments as a surprise. And, you know, the biggest takeaway I have from that was that, like, rolling on the ground in gravel sucks.
As soon as you said it, when you're like gravel parking lot, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, that's the thing is, like, that's why I don't ever want to start a fight or be in a fight anywhere ever.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's because, like, for the longest time, I was terrified of leaving the house with flip flops on because I didn't want to fight barefoot.
Yeah, you know exactly. I mean? Right. You don't want to be caught like off guard with flip flops.
I do nothing but that now.
It was just like it seemed to me at the time like it was like we knew that it was going to happen and we thought, oh, this will be cool. Like it'll be like, yeah, it will be like real world. So it wasn't just a gravel parking lot. We did the parking lot, we did grass, like we did different like outdoor environments, you know, like how would you handle these situations? But really, like it was very uncomfortable. And like I think there's a part of you that understands like that the environment plays a role in how you.
When most people, when they watch fight videos, they're like, oh, like I watch a fight video and I'm just like, ugh. I see them like take their shirt off and I'm like, okay, so if you, it's daytime. So if you fall down on the gravel, it's going to like
it's gonna rip you up, right?
Well, not even the gravel, but like the cement, like a blacktop.
Sure, man, you're losing skin.
Out, you're like laying down. You're going to be like, immediately you're frying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah. You're sizzling. Your skin's sizzling. If you fall, your skin's going to peel right off.
That's always my thought is you get knocked out first of all, and then you're laying on.
It's 100% true.
So yeah, just avoid violence, guys.
So there you go. Robert D, whoever that is.
Whoever it may be. I'm not sure.
There's your answer for me.
And
good question.
My brother Nick actually sent in a couple questions.
Oh, fascinating.
I got one here for you.
Great.
Which is, I do a bit on stage a lot of times where it's called Pat versus Animal.
Okay.
And I just explain, you shout out an animal, and I tell you how I would beat it in a fight.
Okay, great.
So his question, much like this, which animal would you like to fight in a force, and force to submit with your training? He specifies, comma, with your training. Not just some street fight.
Yeah, it can't be like, it has to be a jiu-jitsu match. Right. I think the only time that I've ever thought about like whether or not jiu-jitsu would come into play with an animal would be with like a dog that was like... Yeah. Going to eat my dog or, you know, attack a neighbor or something.
Like so protecting your dog,
We have had dog fights in our neighborhood where the dog got out. And
not sanctioned. They weren't betting on it.
Yeah, there was no betting.
It was an unwanted dog fight.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. So, yeah. So I think that if I had to use jiu-jitsu, what animal would I like to fight? Oh, it would definitely be hyenas.
Oh, okay.
I don't like hyenas.
It's in the dog family.
I don't like hyenas.
At all?
No.
Like, have you met one?
I haven't. I've been told, like, over and over again, like, no hyenas.
I've been told they're very nice.
Yeah, hyenas are really cool. But, like, there was a...
Like, through bone, Jeff. That's, like, a
big
ask.
There was a special in, like, in some issue of National Geographic where they were talking about people in Africa who have... hyenas as pets.
Yeah.
And these things are fucking terrifying, man.
I think they look cool as shit.
They do look cool, but they're terrifying. And I think this is terrifying. Like, all I want to be able to do is be able to put this hyena down with my jiu-jitsu.
That'd be cool. I bet you could. But very, very strong jaws.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I would win.
Do you have an idea of what you would do?
How I would
probably rear naked. You're trying to rear naked.
Yeah, rear naked choke. Yeah, hooks in. Yeah, over under.
Is a body triangle even worth it at that point?
Yes, I think so. Even I think if you had to bite, but you might actually have to bite it, body triangle them.
I would almost want a mount. You know what I mean? Like just so you know, all of it is stuck.
Yeah, maybe.
On its back, you know what I mean?
Maybe.
But, I mean, again, it's not asking.
Well, that's just it, though. I think if you can put the animal on its back, like it's incapacitated to the extent that like it's not on its feet,
right?
Which is like where it's going to generate.
Yeah. Either way, yeah. Either it's on its back on you,
or on its side, right, where they can't quite get out of it, and your arms are clear from its mouth,
right?
Which would be devastating.
And also, hyenas. I don't know if you know this. They don't usually hang out by themselves. So you're taking on a whole
gang. Big friends.
You open up yourself one can of hyena, buddy. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question.
But yeah, and he's got another one that's going to be coming next week.
All right, terrific. All right.
So, but until then.
Until then. Like, listen, we're just going to have to save the topic from this week that we're going to save for next week. Yeah. Which is a really great topic, and I was excited about it. But this one just, like, went off the rails, man.
Hey.
So, as a follow-up, just make sure you guys send us your, like, weird-ass neighbor, you know, stories.
That's my favorite part of this, is the fact that either your international insults and your neighbor stories.
Yeah,
I very much look forward to hearing.
Yeah,
that
we haven't gotten any yet, so like let's get on it, guys.
Yeah. Those are good.
International insults, weird ass or fucked up neighbor stories.
And honestly, why not we'll have them be both?
Like, have them both if they include both. That's a free T-shirt right there.
Yeah, that's three.
That's three T-shirts. No, one.
We'll give you a 3X.
We'll give you a 3X T-shirt.
I hope you're fat.